Let's go to the Colossians chapter 2, verse 1.
For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father.
St. Paul is writing to the Colossian church. At the same time, he is remembering the church of Laodicea. And here he is saying he has conflict in his spirit. Means he's struggling. He's thinking how I can encourage this church. St. Paul did not establish the church of Colossae. But same time, he is concerned about the church and church growth and the people's need. So the Paul is saying, I'm struggling. I want to give something what I have. He says, I want to comfort you what the riches and fullness of God and the knowledge of God, the mystery of God, everything what I learn, I want to give it to you. Suffering, troubles, trials, tribulations, financial crisis, whatever the things you go through. Sometimes we think, why this happening to me? But sometimes when these things happen, you learn something. You learn something when you are closer to God. Some people, when the trials and trouble comes, they run away from God. And they said, why this happening in this world? People blame God. But St. Paul is saying, I want to comfort you. Why he is comforting these people? Because he has the experience. So he said, what you need the Jesus Christ. Then he will reveal everything to you, what you need. Go to 2 Corinthians. He wants to comfort the people, what comfort he has received. Please. And read the chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Now see how St. Paul started? He said, I got so much sorrow, pain, suffering, all of these things I went through. But when he went through all of these things, he is not complaining why this happened to him. He's saying, all this problem comes, trials and tribulations and problem you're going through, God comforts you in these troubles. But when you have problem, run to God. And he has the solution for everything. Other day I was watching some program. And this man's wife got killed in his own house. Some driver who was drunk drew the car in his bedroom, killed his wife, and he also got hurt, her husband. And when the burial was done and everything, and the man went there and stood there and started crying. He took the Bible with him, and he was so angry at God, he threw the Bible in the burial ground. And he fell on his knee and started crying. He was alone. And he was crying so much. No one can comfort him. And he said he felt the arm of God holding him and comforting him. And he said he felt so much peace. And within a short period of time, his life was completely transformed. Today, he is a pastor preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I am trying to say, when you have problems, only comfort you get from Jesus Christ. Various people have various problems. Sometimes somebody said, when somebody start comforting you, he said, do you know what I'm going through? So somebody says, if you had that kind of experience, then you can comfort. It is impossible for the man of God to go through all kinds of problem to comfort everyone according to their need. He said, how come? Let me give you one example. Just think that some prostitute or some other person who is committing all kinds of things like a drug addict or alcoholic. And the pastor never had these drug addict problems, alcoholic problems, and he never had the problem about prostitute. How he's going to comfort them? Somebody says, oh, you have to be homeless. Then you know how to teach homeless people. And some people even go to prostitute center to learn from them. That's not the way Bible teaches you. Once you know Jesus Christ has answer for every questions you have. You don't have to be drug addict to bring the drug addict to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be prostitute to bring prostitute to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Once you know Jesus Christ has answer for every need. So what we supposed to say, come to Jesus Christ. He will comfort you. He comforted me. Maybe my situation and your situation is not the same. But he did it for me. He can do it for you. And that's what comforting is all about. We cannot comfort anyone according to their situation. What we should do? Lead them to Christ. Let's go back to the Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Now here, he was talking about comforting. The same time he says, you need the knowledge of God, you need the understanding of God, you need the love of God, and all of these things. And then he comes and says, in whom, in Christ Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge. If you want the knowledge, if you want the wisdom, if you want understanding, if you want everything what you need Christ. One person wanted to give the example of language. He was the civil engineer. They said, if you don't pass this test, we will demote you, means take your degree or job and give you a lower job. And you have to pass this test. This man went, bought the book, studied, nothing comes to his mind. 30 years old. He came to me and he says, Pastor Peter, I am in trouble. I cannot understand a word out of this, and I don't know how to study anymore. I said, did you give your heart to Jesus? He said, no. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. He will give all the wisdom, all the power, and everything what you need to understand. He cried and he gave his heart to the Lord. I laid hand and prayed and I said, throw that book away and read the Bible. And he read the Bible. Whatever he studied before, he went for the test. Everything came to his memory and he gave the test. And he was the first, not in his class, first in state. How it happened? Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. That's why I tell my children and all the children, before you study, pray, read the Bible. You might be so much busy, oh, I don't have time to read the Bible. You can read your books and everything. Sometimes you stay midnight and study. And when you go there, everything blank. Doesn't come in your mind. When I used to go to school, before exam, I will lay my hand on the paper. Say, Lord, I don't know what this subject is all about. You have to help me. And God gave me grace. And what I used to do, get the easy questions first. And the hard one, keep it later. And as I do the easy one, and everything comes and gets a good grade. What I'm trying to say. When you put Jesus first, everything comes. What the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All other things will be added unto you. So what we need, He says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, He says, not only in wisdom, but you get everything what you need. The wisdom, the sanctification, and the redemption in Christ Jesus. Please read. 1 Corinthians 1:30.
But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption.
See? Wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So when you have Jesus Christ, you have the wisdom of God, we have the righteousness of God, we are already sanctified, means separated for the Lord, and we are redeemed from this miserable, sinful life. We don't have to struggle to live holy. People are trying to be holy without God. This morning, I was listening to radio, Christian radio program, and one man said he went to see the Ganges River, how all the sinners come there to wash their sin. And he said there was a young lady sitting there and crying and weeping and said, Lord, my sins are so many. Please wash away my sins. And the one young man, Christian man, looked at her and said, sister, why are you crying so much? She said, my sins were so many. And for my sins' redemption, I threw my six-month-old baby in the river. So God can forgive me. The man said, ma'am, he did a wrong thing. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took your sins, sorrow, pain, suffering. What you need? Jesus. And she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She said, why didn't you come half an hour early? Oh my God. Or hour early. What I'm trying to say? That lady didn't have any peace. She gave her child, see, to please God. But she was doing what? Giving to the demon God, maybe. God wants you to live for Him. So what we need? Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes to you, means in your heart, you get the mind of Christ. You get the wisdom of God. You are separated from this sinful world. You are living a clean and holy life. You feel good in your spirit that I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm saved by the grace of God. That's everything happens in Christ Jesus. Let's go back, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4.
And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words.
Now he says, once you are a born-again Christian, watch out. There are people to entice you and tell you Christianity is fake. Christian people are naive. Christian people has no brain. They're worshiping God when they have problems. You don't see real people or good people go to church. Only people go to church who are sinners, or who have problems, or maybe they are not highly educated. That's why when you go to college, they brainwash you. They say, what religion is you coming from? Oh, I'm a Christian. That's your mother and father's religion. You don't do whatever they do. You have to have your own mind. You decide what you want to do. These things will pull you down. Religion is not good for you. You won't be able to do many things because religion will tell you, don't do this, don't do this. You don't want that. give up all this religion. And I see many people today. Many people I see, they say, we don't have religion. What happened? Because somebody beguiled them, enticed them, enticing words, telling them this is what you're doing is wrong. You remember Adam and Eve? They didn't have any lacking. They had food. They had everything what they need. The devil comes, try to entice them. What he's trying to say, you know what? Did God tell you not to eat any fruit? That's the way he started. Then how they were surviving? She's supposed to say, we eat all kinds of fruit. I'm happy and I'm joyful. Who are you? Why you came here? We are the one gardeners. We're supposed to keep our garden. We don't allow somebody to come and destroy us. But he said, oh, no, no, God lied to you. God did not tell you, if you eat this fruit, you will not die. She said, oh, even though you touch, we will die. He said, okay, go and touch. She touched, nothing happened. See? Nothing happens. Go and eat. She heard the enticing word and got deceived. That's why she said to God, Satan beguiled me. Satan deceived me. That's what the story is. So, how it happens? Somebody comes to you and try to tell you some enticing word, means sugar-coated words to take your attention. The man will come and start showing some scenery or some scientific theories or something you get interested. And 5-10 minutes, you say, wow, this man has so much knowledge. And slowly, 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 he will tell about his religion and you will not even figure it out what he's saying. And when you keep on watching, maybe 7 weeks, 10 weeks, and you already start buying his books and CDs, and slowly you'll be going away from the truth. But there are so many cults that are doing this. So he is trying to say, that someone should not come to you to beguile you. So the word of God is saying, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. St. Paul says, now we know the tactic and devices of the Satan. They didn't know before, but we know now. Please read.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
We are not ignorant of his devices. St. Paul is saying, the Christian should know what the devil does. He has different tactic to entice people. Young people, he will entice with drug, alcohol, tobacco, smoking, and something. The adults might be saying, you know, you want to be rich, let's go to Las Vegas. And I can make you rich. And they go and gamble. And different people, he used different tactics to destroy them. But the St. Paul says we should not be ignorant of his devices. We know what he's doing. So we should know when the enemy comes and brings some ideas, if those ideas are not based on the word of God, we should stay away. We do not allow them to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, if you read, St. Paul is saying, I'm even worried about you.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
See what he's trying to say? The devil came and deceived the mankind. So the same way the devil is still alive today. And he comes very cunning way to destroy you. Verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them.
If somebody comes and say, you know what? Whatever the Jesus you are studying, that Jesus is not doing anything for you. I'm going to tell you another Jesus, or another gospel, or another book. There are some other books, it's not in the Bible. The newspaper and TV and other people saying, oh, there is another gospel. There is another book you never read. Why are we reading some other gospels and other books? There is a Harry Potter's books. And they are enticing children to read these books. And even the government schools approved those books, keep it in their library, and make like a project to those children to read those books and study those books. And when you tell your children about Bible or some other things, they don't want somebody bringing Bible to school, or even the drawing a picture of Christ or picture of cross. But Harry Potter's book, they will give it to you to read. And so once the children start reading that, you give them the other story books about Bible, oh, this is not good, this is good. And they will read your palm and they will tell you all exciting stories. And they say, I want to tell you more, but tomorrow bring some more money so I can tell you more. And if you hooked up to that, they will drain all your money and still tell you, I would like to tell you more, come more. And people get addicted to it. So that's what he's saying. They will come with a very sweet word that you want to hear. You want to have a handsome husband? You want to have a husband who is making a lot of money? I will tell you how to get it. And they have all the tricks and ideas. And they will give some number and that number didn't come. Oh, that was too close. Again, another number tomorrow. And they can drain your money. So here is saying the devil has all these devices and telling you what you're doing is not right. I'll tell you something else. And people said, I went to church all along. Nothing worked. Let me hear if that can do some better for me. But the word of God says, don't listen to them. Don't listen to even angel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, he says, don't listen to anyone. Even the angel comes and gives another story.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
How much stronger language can be used? He says, if an angel or any other person comes and tries to tell you another gospel, he says, there is no other gospel. Gospel means what? Good news. There is only one good news. There is no other good news. But if somebody comes and tries to tell you something, what you have, you don't have it, I'm going to give you better. You don't fall on those people's tactic. What happens if you don't know the truth? Then you don't know what is the truth. But once you know the truth, then what Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. If somebody seeking the life in the Word of God, and honestly studying the Word of God will change you. There is a power in the Word of God. But if somebody just reading to find a fault, they will have problems. But I have seen even the Jewish people try to find faults in the Bible, and those people got saved. So the Bible has power and wisdom of God. So once the gospel comes to you, a born-again Christian, what that person supposed to do? Go to church, read the Bible, pray, and study the Word of God. then your knowledge will grow. Once you know the word of God, once you know the truth, then somebody brings some other gospel or other teaching or other book, you're not going to get it. Or some other cults, they have their own books. When you start reading their books, and sometime you will like it. He said, hey, this is better. Because I am having problem. You can have two wives. You can live whatever the life you want. And there are so many other things people will teach you, and some people are frustrated. They will say, okay, I like that better than Christianity. But once you know the truth, and then everything other things comes, we know they are pulling you away from the true gospel or true God. How can you analyze? He said, you will know they are deceiving you and taking you away from the truth and away from the Lord. So what does it mean? You should be rooted and grounded in the Lord in the first time. Go back to the Colossians chapter 2. Start reading from verse 5.
For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
He said, I wanted to come to you personally, but I cannot come because he is in prison. I cannot come there, but my spirit is there. But the gospel, the teaching of Jesus Christ is with you. And so he's saying, only thing what you need Jesus Christ. And once you receive Jesus Christ, you walk in him. Walk in Jesus Christ, live in Jesus Christ, do everything what Christ says. That means your life should be enrolled in Christ and Christ alone. Then you walk in him, you talk like Jesus, you walk like Jesus, and you do everything what Jesus does. And then he says, you will be rooted, built up in him. And he says, and steadfast in the faith as you have been taught. So he's trying to say, first of all, you have to say, I'm a Christian and I'm going to do my part. Every day, I'm going to read the Bible. Every day, I'm going to study the Word of God. Every day, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say, Lord, search me. If you read the Bible and start reading the Bible and Bible start pointing out what you did yesterday or a few minutes ago, don't skip the page. Wrong chapter I'm reading. I want to read the chapter which make me feel better. You will never grow. When you're reading the Bible, you find out what God's word is speaking to you. Underline in that and try to find out if that verse is telling me I'm not doing right, then how can I change my life? Bible is a mirror. Will tell you what is wrong with you. Sometimes you are not seeking the word. All of a sudden you open the Bible and look at it, it will talk to you. So the Bible is our guide for the life. So today is the day God has made. So sometimes we say, I'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Reading Bible, studying the Word of God, going to church, praying, they should start right away after you're getting saved. Otherwise, the chances are there the devil will take you away from the Word of God. Now, verse 8.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right. Now, see, again he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and tradition of men, and the tradition of this world. So he's trying to say the people are there to take you away from God. That's what I said earlier. When you go to college, they are going to tell you some of the things which you never learned. And they are going to tell you, you don't know, your parents, they don't know, but we are telling you, the real story. When my son went to college, and they are saying there are some of the things they are saying, Abraham was not even born. There is no Abraham. I don't think there is a Noah was there. And what I'm trying to say, they will tell you these things are never happened, and the person never read the Bible, they will believe the professor. They think professor has more knowledge than anybody else. So they can tell you the story which is not truth, and they will try to deceive you with their philosophy and with their worldly knowledge and try to deceive you. But he says, if you want to know more about any truth, he said, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all fullness of God bodily. That means if you want to know anything about God, you should know Jesus. Jesus can teach you everything and anything about God. That's what he says. No one has seen God anytime. Who revealed God? Jesus. Yes, sir. Jesus says, you want to know Father? Yes. Come to me. You want to know heaven? Come to me. You want to know anything spiritual? Come to Jesus Christ. That's why he says, we have to teach people, come to Christ. Christ is the answer for each and every person. Now here, why St. Paul saying this? If you start reading this, these people were coming from the heathen religion, and they had so many heathen thoughts and ideas in their mind. As you read, you'll know. Let's read further. Verse 10.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Now he's saying, you want to change? You want to be completed? Then he says, you are completed in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Who? Christ. He says there should be some change. Verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Somebody says, I didn't understand that. How in Christ we are circumcised? And he says that circumcision didn't happen with the hand. That means in the olden days, God went to talk to Abraham and Moses, gave the command of circumcision. The circumcision was the cutting the foreskin of their body. So now that was a ritual and happened, and people didn't know what they were doing for. So here he's saying, now if you are in Christ Jesus, you are already circumcised, and that circumcision didn't happen with the hand, putting away the flesh. Then what happened? The circumcision of heart is change of heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, the word of God says, do the circumcision of your heart. You cannot cut your heart with a scissor. That means you change your heart. In Christ, there is no circumcision. Means in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentiles. So the circumcision he is talking here is the change of heart. So if you coming in Christ, then your heart will be changed, will be transformed. That's you going to be a new person. That is the circumcision he's talking about. Let's read book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29.
For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Your change of heart. Let's read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15.
For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
So new creature means what? New life. Change of heart. That's only is in Christ. So there are people, there are denominations of Christianity and so many churches, but they are not yet circumcised. They are not yet changed. Their heart is not changed. The message of repentance is not there. They are not born again. And there are churches, you go to church and come back the same way. Today somebody prayed, Lord, we came here, we don't want to go home the way we came. What does it mean? We came here to learn something. We came here to know something. So we want to go home knowing something, changing something in our mind and our heart. That's what is the word of God is saying. The circumcision is the real circumcision, is change of heart or new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, what is saying? If any man or any woman or anybody is in Christ Jesus, who is he? New creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Means in Christ, we are new creation. That was not exist. Even the Adam didn't have that kind of experience. We got in Christ. Go back to the Colossians. Not only that he is saying, you should be circumcised, but then he is saying, verse 12,
buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Now he says, once you are circumcised, means you are born again, then you have to be buried. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, now you are a new creation, and now you want to follow Christ, then you have to be buried with Christ and live with Christ. So the worldly life will go away once you are receiving Jesus Christ. Then what is burial is all about? He says the burial is all about is the baptism. You remember some people give baptism with a sprinkling. Some people just take the water and put a cross on your head with the water. Or some people just sprinkle the water and say this is a baptism. That is not the baptism. The word of God says baptism, that word itself is a immerse. They didn't translate the word properly. So the baptism, when you go to the river or the bigger pool, baptism pool, and when the pastor immerse you in the water, that means you are completely like a buried in the water. When you come out with the hope of resurrection. You are buried in baptism. Let's read in Romans chapter 6. It gives a little bit clear picture. Romans chapter 6, starting from verse 4.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
See what is happening in the baptism? That our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve the sin. That's why we take the baptism. When we take baptism, the old man by faith is destroyed. Read until 11.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
That means if you die in Christ, you are free from sin. That means you are not going to commit sin. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
See, that's what he's trying to say. If you want to die for the sin, means the sin should be dead in your life. Do you think the dead man can do anything wrong? No. The dead man cannot do anything. So that he's saying we should be dead to sin and live for Christ, then our life will be completely changed. That is the sign of the Christian person. Other people do not know what Christianity does. The people say, you know, I'm trying to live a holy life. I'm trying to do something good, but I cannot do it. What is the secret? You didn't invite Jesus Christ into your heart. If Jesus comes in, the devil goes out. that Jesus comes in, he gives you supernatural power to say no to sin. I'm not struggling not to drink tea or coffee. I'm not struggling not to drink liquor. Once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, those things are gone automatically. And so point I'm making, I am dead to sin. I'm living for Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Colossians. Start reading from verse 13 now.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Now, when you're reading this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, as I say, I don't understand what is he trying to say. All the law was given by the written by the hand of God, or the finger of God. And when you read all the laws make your sin to come alive. That means the law makes you sinner. Somebody say, how come? Because the law makes you guilty. If there is no law, there is no guilt. If there is a law and you break the law, then you are guilty. If you don't break the law, then you are not guilty. Everybody were breaking the law and they were guilty. And so most of the people know those handwriting means two different things. Handwriting means something is wrong is going to happen to you. And so he said that handwriting, the law and all this against you, thing to kill you and destroy you, that's already gone. How it gone? Jesus Christ took it on the cross. The word of God says he knew not sin, but God made him sin and he put all our sins upon him. And so what happened? Jesus Christ took your sin and nailed it down to the cross. So what happened? Our sins are gone. Once I received Jesus Christ, he said, your sins are blotted out. Means what? There is no record of your sin. The sins are forgiven and what? Forgotten. That is the best thing happened in the Christian religion or Christian faith. There is nothing in other country or other religion. They are struggling to be holy and cannot be holy. But to us, it's very simple. Say, Jesus, you took my sin on the cross. You took my sorrow, pain, everything. All the handwriting is blotted out. I'm not a sinner anymore because I received you as my Savior. Now see, there are some other things he is saying, how the people are tangling. Verse 15.
Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
That's right.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day.
Now, what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he destroyed the works of the devil, all the powers and principality and everything, and he got victorious over all these things. Now somebody comes to you and entice you and trying to tell you some of the things a Christian people supposed to do. And what? There are some other religion they will tell you. I don't want to tell any religion or any denomination name. Some of the religious people still doing rituals which are done in the Old Testament. Their dress code, incense. And all these things they are still doing in the church which is not necessary. And some people will be telling you how to do Sabbath. And all of these things they will try to entangle you if you don't know the Bible. But we are free. We don't have to do Sabbath because Jesus Christ is the master of Sabbath, and our Sabbath means what? A rest. Our rest is coming. It's explaining here. Our rest is coming. So we are not to be judged. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat. Some people are giving these lectures about health. That's good. They will say, don't eat pork, then don't eat this, don't eat donkey, don't eat elephant. All of these things they will tell you. But if you go to the China or some other poor countries, they will eat everything to survive. Everything and anything they will eat. So the word of God says, when you go to those people and they give you something in your plate, you just pray and God will give you grace to eat. If you don't, then you starve. But don't say those people, oh, you are heathen people, you eat those things, you're going to go to hell. Whatever you eat, that will not take you to hell. Maybe it give you disease or something, but it will not take you to hell. If you eat the pork, will not take you to hell. Or if you eat the cat, you will not go to hell. You might have some problems in your body, but it's not going to take you to hell. So he says, these are the things you're doing. People should not be judge you for this. Let's read verse 17.
Which are a shadow of things to come.
Okay, now these things he said, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. That means he said, all of these things, you think the Sabbath or all the rituals, even the tabernacle or the holy and most holy place, and all the rituals in the tabernacle, everything points to Christ. So once you got Christ, you don't have to do other things. Because Christ is the person bodily came to you, you saw him, and that is perfection in Christ Jesus. You don't have to do any other things. Blame Jesus, says you are not observing Sabbath. He said, what is the Sabbath? I should do bad things in Sabbath or good things in Sabbath? And so he says he did everything good in Sabbath day. He said, even my dad works and I worked also. So Sabbath meaning people didn't understand. The Sabbath is kept for us in heaven. If you read in book of Hebrews, when we read and study, we will learn. But the Sabbath is the eternal rest in heaven. Okay, let's read verse 18.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
Okay, now here he's saying, again he's using the word beguile or entice or deceive somebody to you. In what? He's saying some people will say, you know, mysterious things, the stars and moons. Now, do you know some of the people are saying, would you like to name the star on your name? And there is a registration going on and they, you have to pay something to register your name in the stars. And foolishly people are doing it. They don't know, they don't see the star, they don't see anything. But my name in the heaven, how much it costs? $100? Okay, name one star on my name. And these are the things people are doing it. They say, do you know? Some angel will assign for you. You have to give certain amount and then angel will come and do. And otherwise you worship certain angel and he will listen to you. And that's what he's saying. He says, all vain things will come and even they tell you to worship the angels and worship some of the things which you don't even know. And they will tell you these are the things you should do. So he said, don't listen to them. I'll keep on reading verse 19.
And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
See, this is what the world is doing. Do you know there is a saying, say, did you hug the tree? That means, you say, hey, instead of hugging your mom and dad, why don't you hug a tree? And they will bring all of these things to show you you should be humble enough to worship the God's creation and forget about the Creator. And this is what the world is doing. All this New Age movement teaching is, don't look for God. You are God. I am God. Forget about that God. And that's what he's saying, those are the things people are doing. And they will tell you, these are the things we're supposed to do to please God. But he says, we know everything. These are all things, the demonic things tell you to do, fleshly things, fleshly desire. It has nothing to do with your spirit. So what he's trying to say, when you have Christ living in you, when you have Holy Spirit, he will guide you and lead you in all truth. You don't need these all demonic devices to live godly life in this world. If you have Christ, you got everything. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is the knowledge of God, who is the power of God. Everything treasures in Jesus Christ, in richly. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Protect us from all these demonic forces. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.